loves you, got a plan for your life, has the ability to set you free, has the ability to deliver you not only from all of the bondage of the enemy, but deliver you for the purpose that he created you for. And so we want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship, or WWBC 1510 AM. Thank you for choosing to spend the next half hour with us as we talk about God's Word. Now, deliverance, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've come to the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. And so we've been talking now for quite some time on the various aspects of deliverance. Well, today we want to talk to you about the deliverance of God's provision. And let me just take you to 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to share something with you. We're going to go back into 2 Kings chapter 12, but I want to read to you something out of chapter 13 first. It says in verse number 3, "Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. So Jehoahaz pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because the king of Syria oppressed them. Then the Lord gave Israel a deliverer so that they escaped from under the hand of the Syrians." What I want you to see right off the bat here this morning is that when God provides a deliverer for us, in this case it's in the shape of a person, it is a gift from God. Let's never get so arrogant or egocentric that we think that God's deliverance is all about us. It is because it is the gift of God, and that God provides the way of deliverance for us, especially from all of the oppression of the enemy. So I wanted you to see that, because a lot of times we look at people and sometimes we see them as challenging, sometimes we see them as problems. But inside the kingdom of God, people are God's gift. Our lives are made better because of the people around us, or at least that's God's intent. And, through the years, one of the strategies that I have come to use whenever a person was maybe a little bit on the challenging side for a season — I've never been that way myself. Oh, sorry. I got choked up there for just a moment. But whenever someone was a little challenging to me, I've often taken the stance, I know a lot of people right now who would pay a lot of money to be able to be frustrated with an individual in their life. If somebody's going through a period of marital strife — that's not the situation I was talking about — there are some people that I know that they would love to have a person in their life that they could have a few moments of intense fellowship with, because they are so filled with loneliness. There are people who are frustrated with their kids, and there are people who are desperate for the privilege of having kids that they could train up and that they could do life with. There are a lot of people whose parents have passed away, and they would love one more opportunity to have another Christmas or another phone call or another birthday with them. And so I want you today to develop this mindset. Let's not complain about God's gifts. Let's thank God for them instead. Let me take you back to chapter 12 today. That was just right there in chapter 13. I wanted to share that with you. And as you're turning to chapter 12, I want to also bring a word of encouragement to you today. This is unrelated to our topic that we've been studying, but I want to remind you, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have always thought that some of the most fearful people on the planet are the people who invest in the stock market, because, I mean, if they hear that someone has a sore throat, if it's the wrong person, I mean, it can spark just massive, massive transactions taking place. And over the past several weeks and into months now, there is a huge emphasis that is being put out there media-wise and things like that. And it is more fear-based than faith-based. I'm not here to dispute facts or anything like that. I'm just here to talk about our response to that situation. I'm not talking about operating in wisdom. We need to operate in wisdom. But whenever, now this goes way back into my life, whenever a person has tried to motivate me through mechanizing fear and planting that into my life, I don't respond well, because I go back to the Word of God and I start looking at it and saying, you know what, this is what God's Word says. He's not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power. He's given me a spirit of love. He's given me a spirit of sound mind. And so I'm going to employ what he has given me as long as I am able to put those things to use. And so I'm not going to respond to the tactics of terror. I just don't. God's my provider. We'll talk about that here a little bit today. God is our provider. And so if you turn on the news and everybody is talking about fear and, you know, fear of, you know, this is going to decimate the world's population. This is going to decimate the country. This is going to decimate the economy. I just want you to go back and say, you know what? I'm going to need a second opinion, and for that opinion, I'm going to go to God's Word, and I'm going to allow God to speak into my life, and instead of being motivated by fear, I'm going to be motivated by faith and by my love for Him. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 12. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king. He would have become king in Judah. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages of the temple wherever any dilapidation is found. Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. So King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and other priests and said to them, why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now, therefore, do not take more money from your constituency, but deliver it for repairing the damages of the temple. And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and put it in bags and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to masons and all stone cutters for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, articles of gold, and articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. This coming week, we have our annual business meeting, and we will be reporting to our congregation, to our members, the faithful provision that God has made at Merit Assembly of God for the work of the ministry, both locally, nationally, and internationally. It's a fantastic report. You know, we have done extensive repairs on the church, and so through the 27 years that I've been there. So when I read this story, I have some insight into it, and so I want to talk to you about that. Jehoash was the king, and he came on, and he wanted to restore the temple. He looked around and he saw things that needed to be repaired. A lot of times we can become so comfortable in our surroundings that we fail to notice some of the things that need to be done. So whenever I look at Merit Assembly of God, I am reminded of the way that it was when I first got there, where there were doors that needed to be fixed. There was texture on the exterior walls that needed to be finished. There were some windows that needed to be replaced. There have been roofs that needed to be taken care of. There's been electrical work that has been done. There has been some upgrades that have been done, carpet that has been replaced. There's been a lot of things. So I see all of the things that have been done, where another person that comes in who never saw the condition that it was in before, they come in and they might see, well, this needs to be done and that needs to be done and this other thing needs to be done. And so we continue to work on it. I don't believe that there's a year that has gone by that we have not made some progress in some form or fashion to take care of a need. But because of the situation that we came from, where the church had no money and actually had to be bailed out financially before I got there, we don't take the same mindset towards the repairs that others might take. We pay for those repairs as we go. And so We move forward, and then we regroup, and then we move forward again, and we regroup. And so that's what was going on. Jehoash comes to the throne, and as long as he had a priest who was instructing him by the name of Jehoiada, everything was going right. Everything was going well. And then in verse number 3, we find this huge three-letter word, B-U-T. But now, whenever you're talking about things are going well, but you've got to brace yourself, because there are some things that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is getting ready to say that means the task still isn't finished yet. We have a purpose that we are supposed to accomplish. And so for Jehoash, his purpose was not only to do what was right in the sight of the Lord, but it was also supposed to involve eliminating the high places. The high places were places where other idols were worshipped instead of worshiping the one true God. And the king had the authority to be able to remove those high places, but he didn't. And it said, because those high places were still there, that the people still sacrificed. And you would say, well, sacrifice is good, giving is good, but they weren't giving to God. They were giving to idolatry. And instead of offering an aroma of pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord, they were offering burned incense on the high places to these idols. I will tell you that the statement, it doesn't matter who you worship as long as you are sincere, is an outright lie. It does matter who you worship. It does matter what you believe. You don't want to believe a lie. I saw a news story here recently. A person was extremely passionate about something they believed. They invested a lot of money. They took a lot of risk. They sought to prove what they believed as being contrary to what popular thought was, except for what they believed in was a lie. I don't want to give myself my entire life for the purpose of something that is not true. So our first responsibility for to God for the things he's delivered us from is to try and minimize the BUTS in our lives. Well, yes, he was a great father, but he didn't teach them about Jesus. Yes, he made a lot of money, but he didn't teach them anything about being a husband or a dad. He accomplished this, but he was never home. We need to minimize the buts so that when people are talking about our accomplishments, when they're talking about our walk with God, they say, you know what? They walked with God in integrity and in truth. And I will tell you this, the scripture was given. It was God-breathed. It was breathed into men of old by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is never wrong. So whenever we are confronted with an area of deficiency in our life, let's try and deal with that. Let's not have that be an addendum on the end of our life that says, "Oh, he didn't do bad, but he could have done better." Let's make sure we do best. So the king goes to the priest and he says, "There is money that is being coming in. It is being delivered by the people. It's being brought into the house of the Lord. It's each man's census money. It's his assessment money. And it is money that people have purposed in their heart to give unto the house of the Lord so that the repairs can be made. It says, let them repair the damages of the temple wherever any dilapidation is found." I will tell you that having something delivered into your hands is great, but it also requires maintenance. When you look into your planning your budget, hopefully you have a plan, a budget in place, you need to make sure that you plan for maintenance. Okay? If not, somebody has to come in at some point in time and they have to spend even more money not only doing the maintenance, but repairing the secondary damage that was caused by the delay in the maintenance being done. And so the mandate is clear. Okay, now Jehoash becomes king. He reigns 40 years. 23 years goes by. Okay, verse number 6, the mandate has been clear. The money that comes in, the priests are supposed to go to work and they are supposed to repair the temple. Now, I don't think that our churches are supposed to be, you know, museums and things like that. And, you know, everybody is just overly impressed. I'm a function guy. When I set out to do something, I want to make sure it's functional. And then I let other people come along and say, okay, now how can we make it pretty? You know, how can we make it nice? And, you know, I don't want it just nice for ladies. I want it nice for men. I want it nice for youth. There are some things that I've got that I would like to see done. Still haven't been accomplished yet, but we keep moving forward. Last year, the past 2 years, we have made huge strides in getting things taken care of as far as air conditioners and storage capacity and repairs that have been made. We've had a whole bunch of that was able to be done because God made provision for it. And we didn't just sit on our laurels. We put that money to work, and God still blessed above and beyond what we were able to do. So we've got some things that we're still looking to do. Hopefully we're going to have a number of those done before Easter. But here, 23 years, the potential of 23 years has gone by, and the king calls for a meeting with this priest who was his mentor, who was his spiritual guide, his spiritual advisor, helping him to succeed in his governance. And the king says, why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Okay. I was working a small project at the church one day, and our electric bills were really high. And I was working on this and project, and I said, God, why hasn't anybody ever come along and addressed this situation that could help bring down the electric bill? And, you know, I was feeling pretty good. I had noticed that there was a situation, and, you know, this is what I felt like God said to me. I've provided you the financial resources to address this situation. Why haven't you taken care of it? And at that point in time, I stopped what I was doing. I got into my car. I drove to the supply house, and what I needed, they were out of. I had to special order it. But when God said, why haven't you done this? I realized at that point in time, there might be some reasons why others didn't do it in the past. Maybe they didn't have the funds to be able to take care of it. Merit Assembly of God at that point in time had the funds. And so we set out to address and bring a resolution to that situation right then. Okay. One thing I have found is that whenever God asks you, why haven't you done this? There's not a good answer. There's not an answer where God is going to say, oh, okay, well, I hadn't considered that. He already knows everything. He's omniscient. That's a big fancy word that means he knows everything. And so when God asks you why you haven't done this, the really the only answer is I repent. I don't want to overlook this anymore. If this has come, you know, if it's important enough to you to bring it to my attention, then it's important enough for me to address that situation. So God delivered the provision, but it was missing the purpose. And God doesn't really want us misusing or misappropriating his funds. That's what we've seen with some local headlines over the past few years where people took funds from one area into another area. I guarantee you when we present everything on Sunday night to our congregation. Every penny will be accounted for. We don't have a slush fund of any form, any variety. Every penny is accounted for. When we say that money came in for this, if it was a, you know, like a missions fund, we have a bunch of different missions funds that people give to. Everything that came in will have gone out for that purpose. Because we don't want to misappropriate any of those funds. I don't look good in a jail uniform. It's not my style. It's not my color. So I want to make sure, and let me just say this. It is more than just accounting to people. For me, it is, I know I've got to give an account to God. And so we celebrate God's provision, and we make sure that it goes wherever God wants it to go. And I encourage you to do the same. So why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Can I ask you, how would you respond to God asking you today, why have you not done this? A lot of times we'll say, well, we just don't have the time. And I will tell you that we make time for the things that are really important for us. A lot of people say they don't have time to read the Bible. It really doesn't take very long. You can read through the Bible in an audible form. I think it is in under 80 hours. You can read the Bible without enunciating the words. On an average, it takes probably less than 2 weeks to read through the Bible. Well, a little over a week, actually, to read through the Bible nonstop. The truth of the matter is, we don't have a valid reason. Let's just say, God, would you forgive me and help me to, by your grace, to be able to do better next time? That's what I'm going to do. God, help me to do better on this radio program tomorrow. We will see you then right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide.